You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your semi-daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews from jaysfromthecouch.com. I am still alive, somewhat. So just a brief explanation of what has happened in between episodes. I got sick, so that was fun. Then I immediately passed the sick on to my partner. So just the entire apartment has been one biomedical waste dump for the last little bit. And then if you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw the photos I posted of my apartment building being on fire. Now, we're still not sure if it was actually in the pizza place that's on the ground floor, or if it was a vehicle next to the pizza place that caught on fire. Either way, there were a lot of fire trucks, and I got to stand out in the middle of the Canadian winter for an hour at midnight. So it was fun. Better off than my partner. She only had like a bathrobe on because she was asleep when I woke her up. So yeah, been hectic in this part of the woods, but we are back. I even have Kitty co-host with me as I record this podcast. She's her usual self after, you know, the surgery from last year. So she's just splayed out next to the laptop trying to suck up as much heat as possible and getting angry if I don't give her attention. So we'll see if she has something to say about the topics today. We are going to play the third of four interviews that I did at Blue Jays Winterfest in Halifax. That's going to be with Devin Travis. So that will be the majority of the second half of the podcast. But what we're going to talk about today in, I guess, another installment of Blue Jays arrivals and departures, there is a new Blue Jay to talk about since we last took to the airwaves, is a backup infielder because the Blue Jays needed another one of those. The Blue Jays officially signed Freddie Galvis, who they'd been rumored to be swirling around for a while. Freddie Galvis is primarily a shortstop. He comes over after spending a season with the Padres. Prior to that, he was from the Phillies organization. Signs a one-year deal worth $4 million. He'll be wearing lucky number 13, more than likely. It's a number he's worn throughout his career. And with Freddie Galvis, there are some really good things that the Blue Jays are actually picking up with this signing. First of all, Freddie Galvis is a beautiful infielder insurance policy. Now, one of the biggest things with the current Blue Jays middle infield as constituted, which would be Devin Travis, aforementioned, and Lourdes Gurriel Jr., not very durable. Both players have had their injury issues in the past. Also, not very good defensively. Lourdes Gurriel is just learning the position. So, obviously, a lot of errors last year at shortstop. Freddie Galvis does not have that issue. In the past three seasons, playing an average of like 158 games at shortstop in each of the past three seasons, single-digit errors every year. He's a great infielder defensively. Last season, 160 games at short, only 9 errors. So, 986 fielding percentage is great, especially for a team that's going to have a lot of younger pitchers on the mound from the looks of things that are going to benefit from defense behind him. Freddie Galvis gives the Blue Jays strong defense. And unlike previous members of the team who were mostly relied upon for their defense, yes, we're going to mention Ryan Goins every time that comes up. We'll also mention Darwin Barney too. But Freddie Galvis has power in playing an average of 160 games over the past three seasons. He has cracked double-digit home runs every time. And last year he did that in San Diego. So, notoriously bad Home Run Hitters Park in San Diego. Freddie Galvis has power, and in the AL East, when you have those bandbox stadiums like Fenway, like Yankee Stadium, like Camden Yards, like the Rogers Center, Freddie Galvis does have a chance to potentially break his single-season home run record, which he hit 20 when with the Phillies in 2016. He could very easily do that if he gets regular playing time. Now, the thing about Freddie Galvis is we're not sure how much playing time he's going to get. For example, we do have Lourdes Gurriel at shortstop. He played shortstop for the most part, but the organization could see him more as that Marwin Gonzalez type who kind of goes around the field, just kind of plugs in wherever, and just has his bat playing. Or Freddie Galvis could be that type, because in addition to playing second and short, he's also seen time at third base in his career. He's also seen time in the outfield. He's actually played left and center field for Philadelphia in 2017. So he does have experience out there as well. So this is a very cheap version of Marwin Gonzalez that the Blue Jays are getting, which is probably why Marwin Gonzalez is still unsigned as of recording this podcast. But to get that kind of versatility, to get that power at a $4 million price tag is pretty good. That's cheaper than what they would have paid Yenhervis Solarte, which there's a lot of direct comparisons that can be made between Galvis and Solarte, both Venezuelan infielders coming from the Padres, both not exactly known for hitting for out average. Freddie Galvis has a .246 career batting average in the major leagues, only a .290 on base. So he's not a guy who's going to walk a lot either to kind of offset swinging at the plate a lot. Struck out 147 times last year, which it's not, you know, leading the majors, but still that's a lot of wasted outs. So that might be an issue with Freddie Galvis getting regular plays, that he's not going to contribute to moving the ball. And that was the problem for the Blue Jays a lot last year, the inability to get contact and move runners and be able to keep the offense going when the home run ball wasn't there. So Freddie Galvis does offer a lot of that. And as we said, it takes some of the pressure off of Lourdes Gurriel, in that he's not going to have to play shortstop every day now. There is a competent MLB shortstop in the prime of his career. He's turning 29 this season. So there's a lot of good about this signing for the Blue Jays. He fits in very well. And to make room for him, the Blue Jays did have to designate Danny Barnes, who has since cleared waivers and been assigned outright to Buffalo. That was going to be expected with Danny Barnes, just considering the season he had last year. Just a real market correction from when he came up as a rookie during that playoff run in 2016. He had a 5.71 ERA last year, and in the short time that he was on, he was giving up a lot of hard contact. He was giving up a lot of long balls, just in that relative sample size, and he did not look comfortable at all trying to locate his pitches. Yeah, 5.71 ERA is a bit harsh, but he's a guy who was going to pass through waivers pretty easily, so it makes sense to designate him. He will be in spring training, so we will have a chance to re-earn his spot or put himself in position to be the first guy called up. But again, not a big surprise that it was Danny Barnes who was knocked off the 40-man. So the Blue Jays are still at that 40-man limit. Whether or not this prevents them from really making another signing, you're starting to see now in MLB a lot of the guys who we were talking about, like, oh, this guy could be a good addition, a lot of them are signing minor league contracts now. We saw Curtis Granderson sign 2 days ago with the Marlins on a minor league deal. He's expected to make the roster, but they're still just going to sign him that. Zeke Carrera got a minor league deal from the Dodgers, which, okay, whatever. Former top prospect Justin Nicolino signed a minor league deal with Minnesota. This is a time when a lot of the players who haven't really found homes yet are going to get antsy. And that's how the Blue Jays are going to probably fill out the rest of their depth when it comes to pitchers. Like, you're probably going to see another couple relievers brought in. Brad Boxberger is off the market. He went to Kansas City, which kind of disappoints me. But there are still guys like Peter Moylan, Tony Sipp, AJ Ramos hasn't been signed, the former Mets pitcher. I don't think he'd be in on a minor league deal, but that would be someone who you could look at to come in and be that eighth inning guy. And we're not, the Blue Jays aren't signing Craig Kimbrell. Let's put that to bed right now. But that's probably what the Blue Jays are going to be doing for the rest of the offseason, is just looking for these depth guys who they can bring into spring training, let them compete, or if there's an injury, if Max Shoemaker blows out his shoulder again, then these are the guys who come in and give those replacement innings. And I'm sure a lone bright spot in the Blue Jays 2019 season would be like if Bartolo Colon ended up pitching for the Blue Jays. Do we want that to happen? No, because you're not getting any kind of good innings out of Bartolo Colon. But, you know, it's the kind of signing that the teams do make at this time of year, just to make sure they have the depth to fill those innings at an upper tier level. And so they don't have to, you know, use guys like Cesar Valdez and Lucas Harrell and, you know, guys who really should not be anywhere near a major league roster. So, yeah, that's the roundup of Blue Jays transactions. Since then, we will be right back after this break with the interview with Devin Travis. All right, welcome back. So, again, this is the third of four interview segments that we're playing on the podcast. These are interviews that I did during Blue Jays Winterfest in January. And this is one of the two longer ones that I did. This one with Devin Travis, about 8 minutes long. But always interesting to talk to him, especially just the vibe he gives whenever he enters a room. He's energetic. He's willing to talk. He just enjoys the game. And it was great to be able to talk to him and kind of share in that passion a little bit. So I hope y'all enjoy the interview. And here we go.
Your time in the city
filter in there, okay,
yeah. Is short. Any plans for what you might be doing while you're in the city?
No, I'm excited to see a little bit of everything. I read up on a few fun facts about Halifax. I really want to see the... The what?
The donair.
What's that?
A local delicacy.
Okay. I love food.
It's meat, onion, tomato, and the sweet sauce all wrapped in a pita.
Awesome. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Might not be in the Blue Jays food guide. But.
They'll give me a pass today. I really want to see the Titanic, I think we're going there later today, the museum. Mm-hmm. That was like my favorite fact about Halifax, how the survivors were brought here, right? I better be saying that right.
Yeah. All right, good. Yeah, and some of the non-survivors, too.
From a baseball point of view and a transition year, where do you see yourself fitting in with this team going to camp and, you know, the rebuilding mode? You're hearing, like, names of who might be back, who not. Where do you see yourself with this team going into camp?
Man, I'm just excited to be back and be in a room full of younger players with a ton of energy and a bunch of new faces. Bunch of new coaches. Should be a lot of fun. I just want to win. So
yeah.
Whatever it takes to win and whatever I got to do to make sure everybody's ready in the clubhouse and by the time we get out on the field ready to go, that's what I look for.
Do you like fighting for jobs? Like, it seems like there'll be a lot of jobs where there's going to be battles at training camp, spring training and that.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, That's how you get better. That's why everybody that's, you know, in the big leagues and in professional baseball – made it so far was, you know, growing up and fighting for that job and competing with the people around you. That's how teams win, and you see all the teams that do win right now in baseball. There's a lot of competition to get those jobs, so I look forward to it.
Seen as a transition year for the team, but in terms of personal goals, is this a year that you feel you have to really try to establish yourself, cement your place in the squad?
I mean, that'd help for sure, but I don't really focus on myself too much, honestly. I want to have a great year. At the end of the year, everybody wants to look at their numbers and smile about it and feel good going into the offseason. But for me, I just want to win. We're in a tough division. Yankees, Red Sox are pretty good. And I look forward to challenging them a little bit, seeing what we can do, having some fun with the young guys. And at the end of the year, looking at that W to loss column, I'd just like to see the wins higher than the losses.
You think you could surprise a few teams? I mean, it seems like sports is getting very young. Like, so if a couple of young guys can come in and really establish themselves right away, you could surprise a few teams.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what we can do. We have a group of really talented players, that's for sure. They're young, but they're ready. And like I said, playing in this division is no joke. Obviously, the Yankees and the Red Sox are moving in a special direction at a really fast pace. Yeah, we'll have a little bit of fun and see what we can run out.
What do you think about meeting fans quite far from Toronto?
The best. Like this, every year, any opportunity I get to come on winter tour, I don't care where it's at, I'm going to go.
What do you think people should like keep from meeting you guys?
You know, we're just normal people that love to do what we do, and to be able to play for an entire country, it's something that's said every year here, and it kind of can become a little redundant, but it's the absolute truth. Everybody takes a lot of pride in putting on that Blue Jays uniform and stepping out on the field every day and understanding that there's people around an entire country that are turning on their TV every night to watch you guys play. So it's special. That's the best way to explain it. I mean, it's something that you can never take for granted, because being able to go everywhere around the country, when I tell my friends back home, hey, I'm going here, wherever, they all think it's very cool. So take a lot of pride in it.
You say that you're a normal person, but I'm sure you can have a difference in the life of a lot of people, a lot of children that you're going to meet today. So how do you see that?
That's what it's all about. You know, having this platform and being able to make a difference in lives around the world really is crazy. But these are the moments that we really take a lot of pride in, and we put a lot of emphasis on, because we're all kids growing up dreaming of playing in the big leagues and having the opportunity to do it now, to turn back around and not give back to kids would be foolish and wrong. So that's what makes these events even more special.
Heading into the season, you see yourself taking more of a veteran role as one of the few holdover Blue Jays remaining. How do you see that dynamic shifting from years past as you move towards more of a veteran leadership role?
You know, it's weird to even think veteran, because it's, you know, only my fifth year, but I definitely do understand that I'm one of the older guys now on this team, and it's a unique opportunity. We got some special guys coming up through this system, and some guys are going to play this game for a long time and do some really special things, so I'm just excited to be here, man. I'm excited to get out on the field and do all I can to help this team win, and should be a lot of energy and a lot of fun, so look forward to it.
And
as a second baseman myself, I know how difficult the position can be. What do you think is one of the biggest things that people kind of overlook when they see you out in the field or other second baseman in the field?
Now, baseball all around is a tough game. It's a game of failure, and yeah, it's hard. But you got to take a lot of pride in. You got to have a lot of fun. You know, second base is a very important position, and it's fun, man. It's fun. You got to enjoy it. You got to go out there every day and just help your team win, and good things will happen.
Awesome. Thanks, Devin.
Thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
So there we go. That is the interview with Devin Travis. Hope you all enjoyed that. On our next episode, we will have the final interview that I did during the Jays Winter Tour. That will be with Kevin Pillar. So look forward to hearing that one in the future. We'll try and have another one up soon. Again, now that I'm feeling better and my apartment does not smell like smoke, thankfully it didn't in the first place because we were kind of on the opposite side of the building, but still, just always good when your apartment does not smell like smoke. Let's get that clear. But yeah, we'll have that next time, and you know, we'll have some discussion probably about prospects. I know Keegan Matheson, who is a friend of the show, he released his book about the top 50 Blue Jays prospects this week. So check that out if you haven't already. Hopefully we can try and set something up to talk to him or have Ryan Miller on, since I think the ban on Miller appearing on this show is about over. So we'll see if we can get someone who's a little more well-versed in the youth ranks of the Blue Jays on to discuss some of the players who you can look forward to seeing this year, potentially. So that'll be upcoming in the future. Until then, follow me on Twitter at NeoAC18. That's NeoAC18. Still kind of in winter hibernation mode on there, but spring training is going to be starting up soon, so we'll start to have a little more action from there. Follow this podcast at Locked On Jays on Twitter. Follow it at Locked On Jays on Instagram, on Facebook. It's all over the place. You can't miss it. Just type in Locked On Jays and you'll get your dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk that you need in your headspace. And Kitty Co-host has been quiet the entire episode. Just not much to say on Freddie Galvis for her, huh? Yeah. Yep, that sums up the Blue Jays. Anyway, for Jasmine, for everyone here at the Locked On Podcast Network, I've been Ryan Andrews from JaysFromTheCouch.com. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode, and y'all take care.